Accession number 18203, Reel 2.
On the bank of the river and swam across and got help getting out of the river by some American soldiers who took me to, I assume was a Red Cross or something similar, I'm not quite sure. And when I sort of recovered, I told them that I could speak English, and they helped me find a job.
So the Russians didn't spot you swimming
across? No, no. And I stayed with the American army for, well, just over a year.
Were you an interpreter?
Yes, I worked as an interpreter, and I worked in the... I started off working in the PX, yes, the PX it was. And then I helped out with interpreting. And I lived with a German family just outside Munich.
So the job was in Munich?
Yes, just out. It was in Bad Tölz, it was. The place was called Bad Tölz, which is just a short distance from Munich.
Were there any problems working as an interpreter for the American army?
No, I had no problems. They were very kind to me. They helped me in every way I could think by, you know.
Was it easy to translate?
Well, I found it difficult to begin with because I had, although I had 4 years of English in school, it did take a bit of getting used to not only the speaking the language, but also the American language because it was quite different. Well, not different, but the accent was different. And, of course, I wouldn't say I was word perfect.
Was it good pay?
Well, I paid for my lodgings and sufficient for me to buy my clothes and the food and everything else. And well, most of the food, of course, came from the Americans because there was very, very little food in Germany at that time. So the Americans, I could go and eat with, they had quite a few girls in the army, and I could go and eat with the girls I don't know if the canteen was called the PX as well or not, I'm not quite sure, but I could go and eat with them, and the pay I got was sufficient for me to have a comfortable home with the German family and clothes and whatever I could buy.
What was Munich like? What was the state of Munich in 45, 46?
Well, I didn't see a lot of Munich because I was in Bad Tölz, where a lot of the... It's a spa town just outside Munich, and they had all the hotels were taken by the Americans, and that's where I really worked.
How do you spell Tölz?
It's T... O, umlaut, L said.
Had there been any destruction in Bad Tölz?
No, there was nothing at all. But I believe Munich was quite damaged.
What was the state of the general population in Bad Tölz?
Well, the families were very short of food, and it didn't matter if you had lots of money or no money at all, you just couldn't buy it, whatever there was. And a lot of the people in Bad Tölz worked for the Americans, and I think particularly just to get the food.
How were the Americans regarded by the German population?
I think they were made very welcome. because fashion-wise, I think, they were very kind to the children, first of all. They had these, I never forget, they had, at the PX, they had these stacks of cardboard boxes, which they called, was it called PX rations or something, the field rations. And the American soldiers would tear these packages open just to get the chocolate out for the children. I do remember, they were very kind to the children, and they were very kind to a lot of the population by giving them food and paying for perhaps the laundry, paying with food for the work the people were doing, you know, outside the camp, the hotels, which I suppose was the main thing, because all they wanted, they didn't want money, they wanted food.
Was there ever any friction between Germans and Americans?
There was frictions only between young German boys and American soldiers because of the girls, obviously.
What, did it take the form of violence?
Yes, there were quite a few fights between the boys and the local boys and the American soldiers. There were quite a few fights between them. But then I decided I wanted to go home. But of course, the frontier between Austria and Germany was closed then. You couldn't just walk across. And in the end, I assume it's the commanding officer, you would say, of the station, gave me a pass. So I could. And they took me in a jeep across the frontier with this pass. And I just went home then. And arrived home in 1946, not having seen my mother over a year, so.
Were the Russians still there?
No. I didn't try to get home until I suppose I had heard the Russians had gone and the British had come. The Russians had withdrawn from where they were. They didn't get much further than our town. They got as far as Zeltweg to the aerodrome. And then after a short while they had withdrawn and the British had come. And I don't know how I found out, but I found out that they had gone. And that's when I decided I would like to go back home. And the Americans did the best they could to get me back home.
Had your mother lived under the Russians then?
Yes, my mother had lived under the Russians, yes.
What had she experienced?
Well, I think she didn't say very much. So she must have been very deprived in many ways, because in 1947, she died of diabetes, and I was in England here by then. And Chick and myself, we went to the British Red Cross to ask them about. They couldn't get insulin in Austria. Things were very short. They couldn't get insulin, and we went to the British Red Cross, and they very, very, very kindly got the insulin. And not only did they get the insulin, but they sent it out by plane. But it was too late for my mother. And when the doctor wrote to me and asked me what we would like to do with the insulin, we went to the British Red Cross to ask them what they would like to do, and they told us to tell them to keep it. So, but she must have been quite deprived of food while I was away.
How were the British troops received in Knittelfeld?
They were fine. I think that most of the population, and there again, I think the only friction came between the young men from the town and the soldiers, because after girls. But I think that was about the only friction I know about. It always involved young men and the soldiers.
How did you come to meet your husband?
They used to have a dance on the aerodrome, and when I got back home, some of my friends had been, and they asked me to go with them, and I went. And I spoke to one of the airmen, and he turned around and he said, "Oh, you're a real Yank." And I was so upset about that, that I walked out and walked home. It was about, I don't know, not very far, but I walked all the way home. And I wouldn't go for a long time. And then the first dance I went to again, I met Chick. And that was it.
How did your mother feel about you going out with an English airman?
To begin with, not very well. My brother didn't like it at all. My mother slowly came round, but she wasn't too happy.
Was this because of the war?
No, I think it was the thought of perhaps going away. But my brother, he was just bitter. You know, he was very bitter. He had been to Poland and right through the war, and he had come home, and I think he was very bitter at the time. And he thought that there were plenty of Austrian boys, and why do I want to marry a foreigner? So,
how did you feel about going to England?
I had written to Chick's family, to his sisters beforehand, so I knew that they weren't sort of against a foreigner coming into the family. And I felt perhaps that as I had been away to Yugoslavia and sort of into Germany and looked after myself, that I would be all right. So, and I must say, I was very lucky because I came to a family that welcomed me and never, ever made me feel an outsider. So,
how did you get on with English people generally?
I've never had any trouble at all. I've never, ever had any trouble. I know other girls whom I've met. I used to go to the British Council and meet some of the Swiss and girls and German and Austrian girls, and some of them said that they had, you know, not too good a time, but I didn't. Now, my friend who lives in London, well, she lives in Norfolk now, but she was married in London. Now, her mother-in-law was terrible. All the time her mother-in-law was alive, I think she never forgave her son for marrying a foreigner. And I don't think she was very happy with, you know, at all, because to begin with, she had to live with her in-laws, and it wasn't a good time. But I, touch wood, had no trouble at all.
Were there any English habits or customs or traditions which you found difficult to adjust to?
The fish and chips out of a paper. We lived in Italy for a short time, and we lived in a married family hotel, and I was talking to the English wives, and they were saying about going to the pictures and coming home and having fish and chips out of a paper. And I just couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it.
Because of the lack of hygiene, you mean?
Yes. I couldn't believe that they'd eat fish out of a paper and a newspaper that. So, but otherwise, I found that the only other trouble I had was my in-laws had the meal at midday and high tea, which you don't on the continent. And Borchik had a terrible time with me because I wanted to go out for something to eat about 9 o'clock because I wasn't used to high tea, which was just salad and whatever you could get. So, but otherwise I had no trouble with the food. My cooking is sort of half English, half Austrian. And
was there anything you particularly liked about England?
Yes, there's a lot of things I've liked about England. There was in 1947, there was far more equality between people here than there was in Austria.
In what sense?
There wasn't so much difference between an ordinary working man and a doctor as there was in Austria. I mean, not so much the man, but the lady, because you would never address the wife of a doctor. You'd never address her as Mrs. So-and-so. You would always call it Madam Doctor, you know. And there was quite a difference between, in that sense. Also was that it didn't, even in 47, there were far more women who went out to work, not quite so much tied to the house as they were in Austria, because in Austria, if you were married, your place was in the kitchen.
Which part of England did you live in when you first came?
Well, we first came to London.
Which part of London?
Epping. You had to think then.
And then after that?
And then we came up north, because Chick's work was in London, and they said there was an office in Liverpool, and he was asked, would he mind coming to Liverpool? And so we came, and I think I've talked enough.